and Gunashchish for being here with us today as we kick off Juno Afternoon with some music from Rum Punch to whet your appetite for the Alaska Folk Festival, which will get underway on Monday, April 9th. So mark your calendar for that week. I'm Rhonda McBride, and joining me now we have Miguel Rohrbacher, and we also have Henry Cole with us. But first, before we talk, we're going to kick things off with a little bit of music. Wow, that was wonderful. And that is just a taste of more to come, getting us warmed up. Thank you so much, Miguel Rohrbacher, who is here with us. He is an Alaska Folk Festival board member and also playing fiddle just now. And on the banjo, we have Henry Colt, and we have between Miguel and Henry part of their band, Rum Punch. You know, I love the names of these folk festival bands. They are so creative. How did you come by the name Rum Punch, Miguel?
So sometimes they come together serendipitously. We went over to Sitka and played a dance over there, kind of at a house party, and Henry really wanted to drink rum punch. He was like, all right, if you all go to Sitka, I'll buy you a rum punch. And then we ended up making some rum punch, and it was pretty good.
Well, that's great. So it's good to have both of you here. Thank you for your music. You know, of course, it's not your full band, so we have to go to the folk festival to hear Rum Punch in its full force.
Yeah, everybody else is at work or traveling, but, you know, that's kind of the story at 3 in the afternoon.
Well, there's kind of a double entendre there, as punch you drink or kind of a punch from rum.
Maybe both. We'll see what, you know, Thursday night a folk festival or Friday night, we'll see what happens.
Boy, it is music that makes you want to kick up your heels and dance around and move to the music. So thank you for giving us that little taste. You know, the folk festival is kind of one of those mileposts in a Juno year. It just marks the time. It brings the whole community together. It brings visitors. And so, you know, we sort of had this two-year hiatus from a normal folk festival. Of course, last year you had you did have a virtual show. But what's it going to be like for both of you to be back and have some in-person performances?
So I'll say Henry here is he's pretty new to town. So this is his first full festival. And
And I'm a folk fest virgin, and I'm excited to experience my first folk fest. And I've heard a lot about it, and I'm really looking forward to the community being able to come together and to meet a lot of other musicians and learn some things. And yeah,
I'll say for me, it's like you know, it's like it feels like I've been away from family for 2 years, and it's kind of a reunion. And folk festival is always that way. When you run into people on the street during folk festival, you know, people you only see once a year, you know, and even when you go to other communities, you see people you know from folk fest if you're in, if you're playing this kind of music. So that's a really, it's going to be really exciting. I'll say last year was kind of a placeholder, and we tried to get something out the best we could, but it's feels really good to be back in Centennial Hall and doing our normal thing.
And I guess when you have an experience like that, it really makes you appreciate what you do have or may have taken for granted, because I bet you people are really antsy to get back and experience Folk Festival in Centennial Hall.
I think it's balancing two things. I think, one, having a year away from it made us realize just you know, one, how much work it takes to put it together, but also how much it's, you know, the thing doesn't happen without all of the volunteers and without performers and, you know, and then kind of the outside of the official folk festival, all the bars that have music all week and all the hotels that are filled up and just this kind of phenomenon that happens
organically.
It feels organic. You know, there's a lot of planning that goes into it, but it does at the it kind of goes on autopilot at a certain point, and everybody just knows what to do during Folk Fest. There's just kind of this Folk Fest energy, which is really exciting, and it's great to have that back. You know, this year is going to be, I don't want to say it's going to be exactly the same. Like, we've been really balancing our excitement to be back as well as being cautious and prudent about COVID. So, you know, as a board this year, we decided we're going to require vaccines and ask people to be prepared to show their card at the door, you know, which is a little bit different than it has been historically, of course. The other thing is we're not having dances this year, which is you know, which is a shame, but just because of that close proximity. But our hope is that we're going to be able to put on a festival that's as close to what we normally do as we can safely, and I think we're well on our way to that. I think we're what, a week and a half out.
Well, you know, you talked, Henry, about being a folk festival virgin. But, you know, I don't think it matters whether you're a virgin or not or been coming to this year after year. And, in fact, I think it just kind of gets better as time goes on. Don't you think, Miguel?
Yeah. You know, this is going to be my 30th festival.
30th?
And I turn 30. My birthday is always during the folk festival. That's why I
wow, what
that's
a
why
time
I
marker.
Go. That's the only reason I go. No, but, yeah, it's my 30th festival, and I think – what I've seen is whether it's your 30th festival or your 47th festival, I mean, what's really cool is there are people who are brand new and play this music and are really excited about it, and there's people who were founders of the Folk Festival and went when it was in the museum. And what's crazy is that museum that it was in doesn't even exist anymore. The Slam right across the street was where it started, right in that gallery, and it just grew organically into what we have today.
Time marches on, and even great traditions kind of go through changes. Well, one of the things that I'd like to ask you about, since we have a banjo player amongst us, yay, Henry, for bringing your banjo up, that our headliner this year is Jake Blount. It's spelled Blount, B-L-O-U-N-T, mm-hmm. but it's pronounced blunt, like a blunt edge. So just so you know that. But he's a very young guy. I think probably, Henry, he's in your age bracket, a 20-something.
I think that could be a possibility. Yeah, I know he's someone who's sort of been on the periphery of my banjo consciousness for a long time, or not a long time, but at least a little bit. But to be honest, I haven't really, you know, really dug into his music. So I'm really excited to listen to a lot of his tunes a lot in the next few weeks and either get to meet him and chat with him, or even if just through musical osmosis, soak up some of his knowledge.
Yeah, you know, he has quite a list of credits to his name for being a young man. He's accomplished a lot in his young life.
You know, Jake, besides being, he's just an incredible instrumentalist and singer, and I've seen some collaborations he's done with dancers and stuff. But we thought this year in particular, the last couple of years, you know, as the whole society and culture is kind of going through a reckoning with our own history, Jake has really been doing that work. And as an ethnomusicologist, you know, fiddle and banjo are this kind of marriage in America between music from Europe and then African and indigenous music in the South. And, you know, and as white people came in from, like, Scots-Irish people, and there were enslaved people and Cherokee people and stuff, the music kind of mixed in the Southeast and developed with these elements and rhythms of both traditions. And what Jake's done really successfully in his music and in his research has been to, in areas where that's been erased, kind of the African history of this music, going in and looking into those traditions and finding tunes and talking to people. And it's a great follow-up from it's just a great evaluation for, I think, everybody who plays old-time and bluegrass music.
So when are we going to get a chance to hear him? I mean, and will he be doing any workshops as well?
Yeah. So Jake is going to – Jake is coming with three other musicians who are backing him up, who he plays with. So they're going to play as a four-piece band on Thursday night at 7:45. But check your program to verify that. And then the guest artist always plays on Thursday night and Sunday night of the festival for 45 minutes. Every other set all week is 15 minutes, but the guest artist plays. And then Jake is going to give a workshop, I believe, on Saturday. And then both he and his bandmates are going to give workshops on both Saturday and Sunday of the festival.
So just check your schedule. But that's good to know that he's got some availabilities. You know, and I read a little bit about him, and that he was the 2020 recipient of the Steve Martin Banjo Prize.
Henry was a nominee, but he didn't make it.
Yeah, right. Oh, my gosh. I know. He's.
It was an honor just to be nominated, though.
Miguel's obviously joking at my expense, but that's
well,
okay.
You know, while we talk about jokes and banjos, at a lot of festivals, I've noticed that banjo jokes are told, that and the banjo players are the butt of those jokes. Why do you think that is, Henry?
You know, I think it's the price that we banjo players play for or pay rather for playing such a fun instrument that sounds so exciting and sometimes makes people want to dance. No, but in all seriousness. I have no idea why, and I've certainly heard a few good ones over the years.
Oh, do share,
okay.
Do share.
Well, so, Rhonda, what's the difference between a banjo and an onion? Well, no one cries when you cut up a banjo.
I think it might be jealousy, too. There's something about banjo players, especially playing this kind of three-finger bluegrass, old-time style of banjo, that it takes so much finesse that it's, I think all the other musicians who play more simple instruments are just a little bit jealous, because you can get a lot of sound and rhythm and energy out of a banjo if it's played well.
And also a lot of frustration, I might add. And the banjo is sort of this Frankenstein instrument, you know, guitars and fiddles look so beautiful with their simple wood design, but the banjo has all this metal on it and parts to be fiddled with, and it's not a beautiful looking instrument, and I wonder whether that's part of it,
the ugly duckling that turns into the swan because people notice the banjo. I mean, that's an instrument that you obviously hear. Well, do you think that Jake Blunt is going to give some respect to the banjo?
Oh, I think so.
I would say in spades. Yes.
And I would say that, like, I think part of what he's doing is, you know, Alison DeGroote's another artist who comes to mind, or Rhiannon Giddens from the Carolina Chocolate Drops. They're all artists who Dirk Powell. I mean, they bring this just intense study to the banjo that I think can really highlight what it's capable of and kind of the depth of the traditions behind it. I mean, banjos are the butt of jokes, and they kind of they're like an archetype for, like, when you hear it, people are like, oh, that's country music. But I think Jake's work is, again, just showing there's a lot to it, and there's a lot behind it and a lot of history there. So I think just for all the folks coming to the Folk Festival, bring you know, be ready to have fun and dance, and also just be ready to learn a little bit and dive deep into this music if you haven't.
So before we leave, some other business you want to take care of, like volunteers and just some touch points for us to keep in mind?
Yeah. You know, we're coming back after a two-year hiatus from being an in-person festival, and we always need volunteers. And I'd say anybody listening to the radio that we can train you. So it's, work at the membership table, the merchandise table, work in sound, and just go to the Alaska Folk Festival website. And there's an application for volunteers. You can fill that out and put your availability as well as kind of what you're interested in. I also just want to make a pitch. The Folk Festival, believe it or not, is a free festival. So we've never charged admission. We rent out the Centennial Hall and other places to have it all week. And that costs money. So I would encourage you, if you enjoy the Folk Festival and you come, we don't charge, but please consider becoming a member. I think our memberships start at $20 or $25, and just like public radio, your membership funds the whole operation. So that's my plug. I'm going to go after this and check my membership to make sure I'm all current. Sure. But yeah, please consider joining.
And also, it makes you feel like you're a part of something and contributing to make it happen when you join up. I got to join up. Thank you for reminding me about that.
Yeah, and we have a membership meeting. You know, we are a nonprofit with a board, but we have a general membership meeting every year at 5 o'clock. It's going to be in one of the rooms at Centennial Hall, and there will be free pizza open to members, and come share your thoughts about the Folk Festival or what you'd like to see different. We'd love to have you.
All righty. Well, I'd like to ask you if you could play us out with another tune.
Sure. Thanks, Rhonda.
Sounds good. Thanks, Rhonda.
Thank you.